two-part series is on the love lane, because that's part of the theme that the Lord showed me for 2025. And get ready for different, because he's doing a new thing. Are you going to receive it? Are you going to acknowledge it? Are you going to receive it? Are you going to be a part of it? Because it's possible to miss. I want to tell you, it's big in God's heart for you not to miss what he's doing in 2025. Get ready for different. You know, that means you flex a little bit. You know what? Get ready for much more, because he's the God of the much more. You say, well, Brother Tim, it didn't happen last year. Well, I want to tell you, that may be between you and the Lord, but I'm announcing to you, you see what the Holy Spirit whispers to your heart. I'm announcing to you that we're in a new season. Get ready for a new season. And it's a season of harvest. It's a season of much more. And it's not just in the receiving. I know when I say stuff like that, sometimes people just think ching ching. I'll tell you, the blessing of God is much more than ching ching. It's so much more than that. Yes, it will include, because that's just like them. But I want to tell you, it's much more. It's very, very important that he wants us to be grounded in him. And I want to tell you, we got to be grounded in him and grounded in that word. And we got to have confidence in him for what he's going to do in 2025, because it's bigger than us. And I want to tell you, those things that come, the people that come, needy people are going to come. And when needy people come, we're not going to focus on how big the needs are. We're going to focus on how great our God is. We're going to focus on the mighty salvation of our God. Because the salvation that changed and transformed your life can transform and change anybody's life that walks through that door. And so I want to tell you, let's get ready for more. And the way that we receive in the kingdom, because according to the Bible, everything that operates in the kingdom operates through love, through his divine love. Our love can wear out pretty quick. Oh, yeah. But I'm telling you, his love is supreme. It's supernatural. It's divine. And I want to tell you, it has such a restoration effect. It has such a transforming effect on people, his love does. And people will be touched by his love, even if they don't know anything about him. They can be touched by his love. His love will court people into himself. And we get to be a part of what God's doing in that. So one of the main ways that we receive in the kingdom of God all that he wants is to walk in the love lane. If we start walking in the self lane or the flesh lane or the me and mine lane, I want to tell you that can absolutely put the brakes on what God's doing. We dare not do that. But if you'll walk in the love lane, I want to tell you it puts you in position to receive all that God has for you. Is that easy to say? Yeah. Is it easy to live only by Jesus? Because there's no room for self in walking with Jesus. There's no room for self-promotion in walking with Jesus. Self is anti-God. And so it has to be submitted. It has to be surrendered. As Paul says, it has to be crucified, which means we say yes and esteem the Lord over ourselves. But when we do that, hey, we don't quench the Spirit. We liberate the Spirit. Anybody interested in liberating the Spirit? Well, I am too. And so let me just announce this series, because my beautiful blonde loves me to do that. The series is the love lane. It's our protection and it's our rescue. Our protection and our rescue. I am so loved by Father. I am so loved by Jesus. And I want to tell you, it's not based on how I operate this week or last week, or by the failures in my life in the past. They don't qualify or disqualify me. As a matter of fact, I want to tell you, needy people, I want to tell you, they're drawn to grace because we need him. It's the ones that don't have a need that have trouble touching him. But I want to tell you something. When my love is weak, his love is still strong. Somebody say amen to that. Well, 1 John 4:10 says it too. This is real love. This is the real deal. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And I want to tell you, I love the emphasis on this, because I want to tell you, the Old Testament emphasis was on your works, your works, your works. You do it, you do it, you do it. The emphasis of the New Covenant, Jesus came and he brought grace. You know what the emphasis is there? He'll do it, he'll do it, he'll do it. That's a big difference. And so I want to tell you, you can struggle and fight, and some churches teach that you got to do all these spiritual aerobics, jump through all these hoops, obey all these lists, check all these boxes in order for you to love God. I want to tell you, I think grace makes it real simple. I think Jesus made it simple. You know what it says right here? Not that we loved God. That's not where your focus is. On how well did you love God today? How well did you love God this week? That's not the focus. I want to tell you what the focus is, that he loved us. And so I'm telling you, the emphasis in Scripture is this. It's so simple you can miss it. Don't focus on your love for God. You focus on how much he loves you. Now, something supernatural happens when you do that. Look at this. But that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Grace says it's his love for you more than your love for him. But this is what happens. Our love can waver. His love never fails. Hey, it's a supernatural that happens on the inside because it's Jesus' factor. But what happens is this, is that when you focus on how much God loves you, you focus on the love of God, there's a transformation that takes place that doesn't have anything to do with you. Doesn't have anything to do with your works or your spiritual aerobics. That transformation that takes place because our love for him is a responsive love. Not one by works, it's responsive to his love. When you focus on the love of God, something happens on the inside of you that the Holy Spirit works out. And what works out is this, you love him more when you focus on his love for you. And it's manifested. Your desires, your godly desires increase. And it's not by a list of rules and regulations. Your love for him increases. Your awareness of him, your consciousness of him is on the increase when you focus on his love. Because it's not based on your love for God. It's based on his love for you. But his love for you, when you focus on that and when you center in and get to know more and more and deeper, as Paul said, his love for you, then I want to tell you, it causes a reaction inside of you that's supernatural. And you grow and develop and walk out in greater love for him. He does it. And he gets the honor and glory. You're not able to publish a book then and say, because I did these things, this, 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 and this, is the reason God blessed me, or the reason God's using me, or the reason I love God more. No. It needs to be about him. But when we make it about him, as simple and as childlike as that sounds, it's childlike faith. You focus on his love for you, not your love for him, because that's where performance kicks in. Supernatural. Your heart is drawn. Your heart becomes more sensitive to him. Your heart becomes more aware of him. And you're drawn to him and you respond in greater love life with him. He writes it on your heart. It's not in the stone. He writes it in your heart. And it's love life. And that's the way the Lord works on that. Look at Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. We see pictures and descriptions and expressions of his love all through the Bible. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. Boy, that's for you. And so if you get home one day or wake up one morning and say, well, you know, the Lord's mad at me and he's sad at me and he don't love me as much as he did yesterday. That's a lie. Now, if you want to believe that lie, it's going to affect you. I want to tell you, whatever lie that the enemy has tricked you into, it's got to be replaced with the truth. That's why you need Bible preaching. That's why you need Jesus-centered preaching. That's why you need to be in a fellowship that walks in the love of Jesus. Okay, because that's how you get free. Great is his faithfulness. Look at verse 23. Great is his faithfulness. He's faithful, faithful, faithful. As a matter of fact, you know, that's how Sarah received from God. Her body was barren. It was a no-no. It wasn't going to happen. Even the thought. See, the reason she laughed is that she pictured in her mind that her and Abe was going to get frisky again. And she had to laugh about that. Because those days were gone. It was over on both of their bodies. It was over. But I want to tell you, you know what she did? This is according to the New Testament. She focused on the faithfulness of God. And when she focused on the faithfulness of God, see, focus on God. Not on you. Not on your problem. Not on your lack. Focus on God. But when she focused on God, she had faith. She had confidence in God. How did that happen? That's supernatural. That's what happens on the inside, and it shows up on the outside. Somebody say amen. His mercies begin afresh each morning. Aren't you glad? Well, if that's the word of God and that's true, let's wake up every morning like it's true. Let's talk it out. Let's walk it out. Let's have the attitude that fresh is His mercy for me this morning. And I want to tell you, it'll affect your day. Out of the issues of your heart comes the waves of your life. We can depend on God's unconditional, unchanging, irrevocable love for us. I want to put it like this. No matter who happens in your life, because people get stuck by somebody coming into their life and being a big no-no in their life. Hurts come, achy, breaky hearts. Hey, listen to me. I'm putting it like this. No matter who comes in your life, you are supremely loved by God. No matter what happens in your life, you are supremely loved by God. No matter what the name of the storm is, you are supremely loved by God. No matter what kind of attack it is. I shared with my beautiful blonde a few days ago. I can pretty well center in when there's an attack on one side. I see that, recognize it. I surrender it to the Lord. I receive grace. I have the mindset of victory. But sometimes when I'm getting attacked from two or three different sides. Hey, ever happened to you? Don't say it won't ever. I'm just saying to you, I'm telling you, the enemy don't fight fair. It's a war. He doesn't fight fair. But no matter how many attacks at the same time, no matter what they're called, no matter how big the giants look, you are supremely loved by God. Now, I want to tell you this, because this is where a lot of times we stumble. No matter what you've done to yourself, no matter if you brought it on, no matter if it's because of what you said or what you did or what you didn't do, listen to me, you're supremely loved by God. Now, the Holy Spirit makes that real to you today. You'll recognize that because He loves me, He's always present. He's always present. He's not leaving. He loves you unconditionally. He loves you. And because He loves you, He has His best interest at heart in your life, no matter where you find yourself today. His love will win. Our part is just to consent to it. Just to agree to it. Just to receive it. When the shepherd goes to get the little lamb doesn't have to earn his way back. He doesn't have to even find his way back. He doesn't even have to walk his way back. It's not by his walk. You know what the good shepherd does? He picks up the lamb, puts it over his shoulders, and he carries the lamb back. Rejoicing. Not condemning. Not saying, lamb, you knew better than that. You shouldn't have gone there. You know you didn't know better. No, 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 no. The picture in Scripture is that the shepherd is bringing the lamb back rejoicing. Okay? And so I'm here to tell you, that's what the faithful Lord, love of the Lord looks at. Hey, look at Psalm 5:12. I love this. Psalm 5:12. For you, Lord, will bless the uncompromisingly righteous. Now, I want to tell you who's righteous today. Those that have received Christ. It's a gift of righteousness. It's not based on what you did or didn't do this week. It's based on what he did at the cross. And so the emphasis is not how good are you. The emphasis is how good is your Jesus. Does that help? How good is your Jesus? He's righteous. Well, we get his righteousness as a gift. As with a shield, you will surround him. Now, I want to tell you, I like shields. I don't have one, but I like reading about them, studying about them. But I want to tell you, this kind of shield right here is more like you would find out with the superheroes. It's a 360-degree shield. It's that invisible shield that completely surrounds you. Even from your back, even from your front, even from your side, even where you can't see, he is your shield. And he will surround you with goodwill. Now, I want to tell you, it's not just protection. It is protection. But it's not just protection. What this verse says is that not only is he going to surround you with protection, but he's going to surround you with blessing. He's going to surround you with loving kindness because he can't help it. He loves you so much, he's going to love on you in all kind of ways. That's your Father. Man, hallelujah to his name. This is what we ought to meditate on. God surrounds you with a shield. It's a mighty force field. 360 degrees, not just on Sunday. It's 24/7. But I'm announcing to you, this is part of the principle here, and we're going to see this in Daniel in just a moment. But the more conscious you are of his love, the more you're going to see his protection manifest in your life. Now, I'm going to rush to say this. He's been protecting you already. But a lot of times you don't see it and you don't recognize it. But I'm telling you, when you focus on his love, you know what? Your eyes are open to see him loving on you. And I want to tell you, you'll have testimonies as the Lord protected me in this way. The Lord rescued me in this way. The Lord gave me wisdom to walk around that trap, that trick. And you know what? I got trapped. I got tricked. But the Lord rescued me. This is what I'm telling you. The more you focus on his love, the more your eyes are open to recognize the hand of his love manifesting in your life in all kind of ways. Now, that makes for an exciting journey. And so if your journey with the Lord is boring, I'm telling you, you're focusing the wrong direction. Because this is manifest, and he loves to manifest his goodness and loving kindness in your life. Let's look at Daniel, because I'm announcing to you ahead of time that Daniel set his mind on the Lord's love for him, and he experienced the Lord's deliverance. And what God did for Daniel, God can do for you. Now, this is important to me, and I want to tell you, there's people that teach this story, and I'm giving an example here. They want to talk about it in Daniel. They want to try to look at the educational facts. Daniel had 7 size 10 sandals. Well, that don't help me. I'm a size 12. But I want to tell you something. It's not about the sandals. It's not about the education part of it, even though that's good. It's about the revelation part of it. Because when you look at the Word of God, the Holy Spirit wants to show you Jesus. And I'm telling you, the same Jesus that protected Daniel, that rescued Daniel from the lion's den, will protect and rescue you because it's the same God. And I want to announce something to you. That was Old Testament. That was Old Covenant. I'm trying to put hope in your heart for 2025. We're under a new covenant with better promises and a better relationship with God than what Daniel had because of Jesus. Now, I want to tell you, that's exciting stuff. But that's for you. And so we can experience the Lord's deliverance. I'm saying this to you today because you very well, because we live on a battlefield and because the enemy is out there to try to trick you, deceive you, disturb you, depress you. Hey, I'm announcing to you that you may find yourself in a lion's den. You may find yourself in a trap. You got caught. You got tricked. And there's teaching out there, and I'm coming against wrong teaching today because you need to rightfully know But there's teaching out there that says that if you find yourself in a lion's den, you did something wrong. If you find yourself in a trap, you did something wrong. Well, I'm starting out with Daniel. Now, the next time I preach this, you're going to hear about how that Jesus declared, Jesus wanted to know one of the main baits that the enemy uses in our life in the last days to trap us. You want to know about that? Well, you got to hear the next sermon. But what I'm sharing with you, and I'm starting out with Daniel, is because of this. Daniel is in a lion's den, not because he did something wrong, but because he did something right. Hey, I know we can invite the enemy in. Sin does that. I mean, we can invite the enemy in, say, here I am, you know, take your best shot. Now, we're against sin. We preach a lot of grace, but I want to tell you, we're against sin. God never winks at sin. He did not lower his value or he did not lower his opinion of sin because Jesus came on the cross. He hates sin. In the same way, you're looking at a granddad that hates cancer more than a lot of granddads on earth, because I've had two grandkids fight through the battle of cancer. Now, they've come out victorious. But I want to tell you why that I hate cancer so much, and we pray against cancer with authority and aggressively. I want to tell you why. It's because I love my grandkids so much. And so I'm announcing to you that the reason God hates sin, he doesn't hate you, he loves you, but the reason he hates sin so much is because he loves you so much. He hates sin because it's destructive. Man, you're inviting the enemy in, and he's got better for you than that. Daniel set his mind on the Lord's love. He had great favor with King Darius. And I want to tell you, this is what God does. He gives you favor. It's not by, excuse the expression, it's not by brown nosing. It's not by polishing the apple. I know the world operates that way. It's not by stepping on top of other people to try to get a position. I want to tell you, when you love the Lord, not only do you have favor with God, listen to me, but he says he'll give you favor with man. And when you have favor with man, I want to tell you something that God raises you up and man can't put down. When you have favor with God, God gives you favor with man. They like you and they might not even be able to explain why that they choose you. But there's something about you. They may not understand it. They may be, you say, well, they're not Christians. It don't matter. I'm telling you, Potiphar wasn't a believer in God. But he was a believer. Joseph's God. Now, it wasn't his personal belief, but he saw God on Joseph. And I want to tell you, he probably couldn't explain why that he put him over a garden first and the garden flourished like never before. He put him over the floors in the house and the floors were better than ever before. The more he put him over, the better he was. And so he saw that God was on him. They may not be able to explain it. They might not believe it. They might not agree with it. But I want to tell you, they'll respect it when they see God on you. That's what God's favor is. Isn't it great that God's favor will cause you to be with the right people at the right place at the right time? That's not your doing. That's not happenings. That's God. I love him, don't you? Well, he had great favor with the king, and other people got jealous. Now, I want to tell you something about jealousy. I want to tell you something about persecution. If you're not walking as a victor, if you're not walking in the success of the Lord, if you're not prospering as a believer and overcoming, people don't give a rip. The enemy don't give a rip. He got you right where he wants you. But when you start believing and receiving, and when you start progressing, when you start prospering, when your life begins to multiply with the loving kindness of God to the place of overflow where you're blessing others, that's when other people will become jealous of you and they'll persecute you. Those that live godly, live godly, live godly will suffer persecution. That's a part of real Jesus life. You say, well, I don't suffer no persecution, never happened. How godly are you living? Because this is Bible we're talking about. But they wanted to dig up dirt on Daniel. And I want to tell you what a sweet testimony is. They couldn't find any. Now, Be careful here. When you throw a stone at other people that are being judged, you sure don't want them examining your life, do you? You don't want them coming and camping out on your porch. Well, I'm just telling you something. Listen. The Bible encourages us to live the type of godly life where our living, not just our preaching and our talking and our testimony, because there's people that talk the talk and don't walk the walk. The Bible emphasizes for us to walk the walk. And then your talk is effective. The Bible encourages us to live in a godly way so that your life, not your defense of yourself, but your life will convict your accusers. All right. Titus 2:6-8, in a similar way, urge the younger men to be self-restrained. You see, there's a way of walking with God, even for the younger men, to not be out there in the wild child like the rest of the world, or living the wild, wild west like the rest of the world. But He's got a purpose for us. He's got a destiny for us. And you know what? The Holy Spirit brings self-control, okay, and gives us purpose for living that's more than just out there satisfying ourselves. And to behave prudently. Do you see that? Now I want to tell you, it means to have a sober mindset about life. That your life counts. And your life is effective. And your life affects people. And you know what? There's more to your life than just your heart beating every day. That you have divine purpose. And what kind of destiny are you finding and following and fulfilling the will of God for your life? And so it's a serious opportunity, your life is. And show your own self in all respects to be a pattern and a model of good deeds and works. What he's saying is, be an example to others. Now that's not hard to do when you're just loving Jesus and walking with Jesus. Because your life will reflect him. The Jesus factor will be strong. And you are affecting, and more people are watching your life than you know of. Now, they may know something about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but what is the gospel according to you, to your life? What is the gospel according to Bill? What is the gospel according to Korean? You see, what does your life say about Jesus? Because that's the Bible that they're looking at, and they're reading before they even get to the Bible. Now, it's with your works. Let your lifestyle reflect, and your words. You see, words without works, words without lifestyle are not very effective. We've seen the result of that in our nation. But let our teaching be unadulterated, showing gravity. In other words, don't water it down. Don't just tell a testimony to build you up. Don't just give a report or a teaching to make you look good, or we would say to pastors, for our applause. There are a lot of sermons that are designed for applause. No. I'm telling you, we talk about truth. When you hear Pastor Tony preach, you're going to hear truth. And some of it just doesn't really feel good. Some of it doesn't give you a chill bump running up and down your spine. But I want to tell you, see, if we don't tell you the truth, we rob you of the opportunity to respond to the truth so that your life can be free, can be changed. Anybody, are you with me, saints? And so, with dignity and seriousness, okay, we may try to make you laugh sometime, but we've got a life-changing message. It's the message, not the man. And let your words, your instruction, be sound and fit and wise, wholesome, vigorous, and irrefutable, and above censure, so that the opponent may be put to shame. Now look, you got critics out there. Now, so what he's saying is that let your life, your works, your lifestyle, as an example, and your words be true to the word, so that your critics will be put to shame when they criticize you. Okay, that doesn't mean defending yourself. Okay, you can go out and defend yourself and you can miss. I shared with another pastor, actually it was a pastor's conference, I think, this illustration. But, you know, when I was playing ball, there was always critics of every game I played. Because I never played a perfect game. You're looking at people in leadership that are not perfect. Jesus is. But I want to tell you something. If we took the opportunity every time that we were criticized to go up in the stands, leave the field, go up in the stands in my uniform, take my helmet off and defend myself to everybody that was criticizing, I'd miss the game. Okay, our focus is the game of life. Okay, on what Jesus is doing now and what he's doing next. It's not based, we don't base our life on the critics. Okay, well maybe that'll help you. Because the next time somebody frowns at you because you wear a Jesus shirt, you know what? Just be at peace. Rejoice anyway. There are critics, I'm just going to say this, they're always present. They were with Jesus. Hey, I'm just confessing to you that there are people that listen to the message online to try to find something wrong. I'm just going to say to you, if you come looking for something wrong, you're going to find it. If you come looking for Jesus, you're going to find him. And so we don't base our life on critics and all the believers said. Because there are people out there that are building a case, you know. And I know, I've done enough counseling to know, sometimes it's because of the hurt in their own life and they've got a defense mechanism put up and they feel like that they've got to have a file on everybody and censure that what all they've done wrong, what they don't agree with, and they keep it in this file and they put it in a big suitcase or a briefcase, and you know what, they're ready to pull it out in case they ever feel threatened by you. That was more than what you probably needed to hear. I call them persecuting attorneys. Because they're reflecting the persecutor. I actually shared with one last year that came and spent about 2 hours with me persecuting. I just asked him, I said, do you know this is the enemy's role as the accuser of the brethren? Are you on his team? Oh, okay. So here's the deal about living your life in your words. Don't give the enemy stones to throw at you. Hello. Wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Titus 2:11-12. For the grace of God, I want to tell you, people want to criticize sometimes about the grace of God. Well, you're just setting people free to do whatever. No, no, no. I want to tell you about the real grace of God. It's J-E-S-U-S. And I want to tell you what Jesus will do, what the grace of God will do. It'll teach you how to live. It'll teach you how to operate in the fruit of the Spirit. Multiplying the kingdom of God, and it'll also teach you how to be aware of traps and pits. It'll also teach you what not to do. Oh, Brother Tim, yeah, here it is, Titus 2:11-12. For the grace of God, his unmerited favor and blessing has come forward, has appeared for the deliverance from sin, now that's preached, and the eternal salvation for all mankind, that's preached. But it's also, look what the grace of God does, it trains us to reject and renounce all ungodliness. Grace teaches you how to live. And those worldly passionate desires, that if you wear this stuff right here, this flesh, there's flesh in your soul. And I want to tell you something, grace will teach you how to override, overcome, to submit those worldly desires, and to live a life that reflects Jesus. Temperate, self-control, does that sound like fruit of the Spirit? Upright, devout, spiritually whole lives. Not just a part of you that's whole. There are people that want to put designation or compartments on their life. Well, this is my Jesus part of my life. This is the regular part of my life. And you know, Tony and I will hear about this. There are pastors that we know that will go on vacation, go to a different part of the world, and they'll live like they've never heard of Jesus. What? That's not... Do you understand that grace will teach you to have spiritually whole lives in this present world? I know we like to talk about the sweet by and by, but this is the power of Jesus, the Jesus factor, the power of grace in the nasty now and now. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. So let's get back to Daniel. Are you ready? Daniel 6:4. Then the other administrators and high officers began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling government affairs, but they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. Wow. Somebody say wow. That sounds like maturity. I'll tell you what it sounds like. It sounds like the qualifications for elders and pastors, leadership in the Church of Jesus Christ. It's got qualifications in there. You know why? Well, you got to check this, check that, and you know, no, I'll tell you what it is. It's defining maturity. This is what people that are mature in the Lord, this is the way they live. Amen. This is the way they talk. That's maturity. Okay, that makes a difference. He was faithful, always responsible, completely trustworthy. Somebody say maturity. That's what church leadership's to be, mature. Hey, I'm announcing to you, Tony's in agreement with me because we agree. We're not looking for the most skilled. We're not looking for the most talented. We're not looking for the most gifted. You know what we're looking for? Maturity. And if you're not mature yet, that's okay. We got room for you to grow. But I want to tell you one of the words you're going to hear here on a regular basis. Grow up. Don't stay a baby. Grow up in the Lord. There's a whole lot more for us to participate in the kingdom that you can't as a baby. The only thing they could possibly use was his devotion to God. I love that. So be it. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Where the only criticism that people can find about us or about this church is because, well, they just love Jesus a little too much around there. They're just a little too devoted to him. I have some of them pull me aside every now and then and say, you know, you can go a little too far with this plus this stuff. You know you can. I don't think so. I'm going there. I'm not going to agree with you or we'd both be wrong. I'm going there. Okay? All right. But they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. He was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. The only thing they could possibly use was his devotion to God. They noticed that Daniel, because people are watching your life, they noticed Daniel would go out on his balcony and pray and praise three times a day. I love that. The jealous ones, you know why they're jealous. I taught you that. They tricked the king into signing a law decreeing that for 30 days no one could pray to anyone except King Darius. And if this law was violated, the offender would be thrown into a den of lions. Now you say, well, how could King Darius get caught by that? Well, because he had advisors that weren't godly. I want to tell you, the greatest influence is not necessarily a position of authority, but the position of counsel to the authority. So be aware of who speaks into your life, because they'll bring life or death. Amen, Brother Tim. They knew Daniel loved God so much that he would pray and praise God anyway. Boy, wouldn't that be a great conviction in a court of law? Do you really love Jesus? Is there any proof of it? I love him. Well, you know what Daniel could have done? Because he knew about the law. You know what he could have done? Well, I think that for the next 30 days, I'm just going to take a break from my spiritual life. I'm just going to have a vacation from my spiritual life. Man, I want to tell you something. Hey, he could have said something like this. Well, you know, I don't want to offend nobody. I believe that the Lord is calling me to be a secret agent for God. A secret saint. Man, that's nowhere in Scripture. As a matter of fact, he didn't call us to be secret saints. He calls us to be ambassadors. There's a big difference in that. I'd love to speak on that. Don't have time. Here we go. I got to tell you a couple little stories. Do I have time? Oh, we got plenty of time. I just got to say this because I really want the rubber to meet the road on this. I had a man come into my office one day and he said, "Preacher, I got fired for loving Jesus. I got fired from my job for loving Jesus." And I said, "Wow, man. Okay." I had a question hit my mind. I said, "What were you doing?" He said, "I was praying. They warned me a couple times. But I tell you, I'm going to pray to God. I don't care where I'm at, I'm going to pray to God." I said, "Were your eyes closed?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Were you napping before the Lord?" He said, "Probably." That's not being persecuted for God's sake. That's being lazy on the job. Okay? I've ministered to enough people that are employers to hear two testimonies about Christians. One goes like this. Have actually asked one of our people, look, we really love your faithfulness, your devotion, how punctual you are. We really love it that you don't participate in the office soap operas. Huh? Thank you for that. And you know what? You do what we say. And they've actually asked this, do you have any more people like you at your church that need a job? Because we'll hire them. And that's a good testimony. They don't participate in the drama club. Now, there's another employer that I heard say this. I don't want to hire any Christians. Man, why not, man? Well, because when they get to work, they want a fellowship around the coffee bar instead of getting started. And then they make their way to their place, their desk or their cubicle, and then they got to have their quiet time. And so it ends up being an hour before they get to work. I don't want to hire any more Christians. Anybody see a difference in that? Okay. What kind of believer are you? Because if you're a Christ-centered believer, you're going to recognize that God's placed you at that place to make your boss successful, to make that business a success. And then you're there, as Scripture says, to serve and to be a blessing. Well, there's a big difference in that. Sure enough, Daniel didn't stop honoring God and loving Him back. They reported the broken law to the king. When the king heard the accusation, he was greatly troubled, not with Daniel, but with himself, because he got tricked. Because he loved Daniel and he realized it was a trick. Daniel 6:14, hearing this, the king was deeply troubled and he tried to think of a way to save Daniel. He spent the rest of the day looking for a way to get Daniel out of this predicament. So for the rest of the day, he tried to find a way to save Daniel. He had no choice because it was law to give the order for Daniel to be cast into the den of lions. The king was disturbed all night long, fasting, tossing, turning. He couldn't sleep at all last night. But very early the next morning, the king rushed to the lion's den. Now I want you to hear the heart of this king. Daniel 6, verse 20. When he got there, he called out in anguish, Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God whom you served so faithfully able to rescue you from the lions? I'm going to just tell you something right quick. That's what the world is asking every day. You go to church? Okay. Oh, you love Jesus? Okay. Is your Jesus able to deliver you? Because if your Jesus is able to deliver you, if your Jesus is able to transform you, then He can do it for me. Yes. Yes. What is the gospel according to you? Hey. The world's asking, "What? Tell me about the Jesus factor." Daniel answered, see, I want to tell you, Daniel had an opportunity to be offended at the king. Even though it wasn't the king's heart, it came by his hand. And he had the opportunity to be offended, to be wounded, to say, I'm in this pit because of you, big boy. No, I want to tell you, you don't hear any revenge, anger, unforgiveness in Daniel's heart. Because his first response to the king is a blessing. Are you blessing those who have had a hand in you being done wrong, song? Wait a minute. Daniel answered, long live the king! He spoke a blessing on him. My God sent His angel to shut the lion's mouth so that they would not hurt me, for I have been found innocent in His sight, and I have not wronged you, Your Majesty. Now, I want to tell you, I touched on this just a couple of weeks ago, but I just want to bring it up right quick. In Matthew 21, verse 16, Do we have that up on the screen? No? Matthew 21, 16. It goes like this. This is when Jesus, the beautiful entrance into Jerusalem. And remember, they were laying down the boughs, the limbs, and laying their coats out, and they were celebrating the king as he entered. This was prophesied. And I want to tell you, the religious rulers hated this. As a matter of fact, verse 15 talks about that they got so mad, they got so disturbed at this. Now, I want to tell you something that maybe, first time I ever saw this was just a couple of months ago. But this is what I saw. These religious rulers had authority. And I want to tell you, if they saw something wrong in your life or even by the way you dress, they'd call you out on the street. They would rebuke you in a very clear, present way. They would make you know you're wrong. And I want to tell you, they had authority to do it. And the people would just bow to them and respond to them because they had such authority. But I want to tell you, when they saw the little ones and the young ones and the people praising Jesus and coming in, it made them so mad. But listen to me. They couldn't say nothing. They couldn't rebuke. And they didn't know why. You do it. What? They couldn't get it out. And so finally they turned to Jesus. And they said, "Don't you hear what they're doing? Don't you see what they're doing? Make them stop." And Jesus quoted the word to them. Oh, experts in the law. And he quoted the scripture to them. Have you never read? See, he put it on them because they knew. Have you never read out of the mouth of babes and unweaned infants you have made, provided perfect peace? Now, see, here's the deal. Jesus was quoting the Old Testament. Now, he is the word. So this is the greatest proper translation of Matthew 21, 16 is the verse Jesus was quoting in Psalm 8, 2. We got that, sweet one? All right, look at it. Out of the mouths of babes, you recognize it? This is what he was confessing to them. You know this scripture. Out of the mouths of babes and unweaned infants, you have established strength because of your foes, that you might silence, make the enemy shut up, and the avenger be quiet. And so I want to tell you what praise does. And it happened right here to these leaders. They could not understand why. They couldn't rebuke because that was their lifestyle. They couldn't get it out. And so they asked Jesus to do it. And Jesus said, here's the word. Here's why you can't do it. Because out of the mouths of babes, it is a spiritual weapon of warfare to praise God. And when you start praising God, you shut up the avenger. Now that's why I'm saying to you that when before Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, he was already loving God and he was already focusing on the love of God. And when he got thrown in that lion's den, he wasn't saying, "Oh me, poor me." He was saying, "Glory to God. Praise the living Lord." And as a result, I want to tell you, this verse came into manifestation in Daniel's lion's den because an angel was sent to shut up the lion. They couldn't even open their mouth because praise silences the enemy's roar. Wait, wait, wait. You got some snake talk? Come on, you know what I'm talking about. You got some snake talk happening? Begin to praise the Lord. Begin to celebrate and esteem the Lord, and the snake talk will be silenced. Daniel experienced this. Now look, the king was overjoyed and ordered that Daniel be lifted from the den. Not a scratch was found on him, for he had trusted in God. That's what the love lane does. Let the Lord love on you, because Daniel let the Lord love on him. He loved on the Lord. And you know what? He found himself in the secret place. Those who live, Psalm 91:1, those who live, practice, camp out, spend the night in the shelter of the Most High, will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This is like what Daniel said. God is alone is my refuge. He's my place of safety. He's my God, and I trust in Him. And He rescued me from the den, from the lions, and protected me from even being harmed. That's His testimony. So, the king, and I'm wrapping up. Will you stay with me? Oof, yes, I do need to wrap up. Okay. The king gave orders to arrest the men who had maliciously accused Daniel. This is verse 24 in Daniel 6. He had them thrown into the lion's den. So don't you dare say, well, the lions just weren't hungry. No, my friend. The lions were starving. Here's the proof of it. When the accusers were thrown in the lion's den, along with their wives and children, the lions leaped on them and tore them apart before they even hit the floor of the den. They played catch with their next meal. Now, I want to tell you, Daniel did not defend himself. Daniel did not accuse his accusers. You know why? Because that's God's job. I want to tell you something. Listen to me. Don't you dare go there. Don't go there. It's not your job to get revenge on who do you wrong. It's not your job to correct somebody who gives you an achy, breaky heart. It's not your job to correct or defend. That's God's job. Now listen to me, listen to me. The accusers here were exposed and punished. Now look, if you don't, it's His job. If we don't do it, He will. If we do it, He won't. The Lord was truly Daniel's refuge and fortress. And He's the same for you. I'm going to give you a couple examples and I got to stop. Here's Daniel in the lion's den. How about Joseph? He found himself in a pit, and it wasn't because of his wrongdoing. It was because of his testifying. He was in a pit, got into slavery, not because he did anything wrong. It was because he did something right. Hey, got thrown into prison. Not because he was wrong, but because he was righteous, he was thrown into prison. But I want to tell you, it was all temporary because God raised him up as the number two man in the leading nation in the whole world at that time. Hey, from prison to prime minister. Wow. That's letting God do it. His time, His way. And you never hear out of Joseph's mouth, I'm saying this, you never hear a word of revenge or unforgiveness. One more. Paul, and I probably need to read this to you, 2 Timothy 3:11-12. Persecutions, sufferings such as occurred to me at number of different cities, the persecutions I endured. Listen to this, because there's people that teach that Paul suffered in certain situations the rest of his life. I don't believe that because of Paul's own testimony. This is what he says. But out of them all. Now, you know, when I see all, I say for T. Hall. Out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Out of some? Out of all but one? Out of them all, the Lord delivered me. That's the testimony of God. That's His testimony for you. Indeed, all who desire to live godly are determined to a devoted godly life in Christ Jesus will meet persecution. And so, I'm telling you, the Lord provides a way of escape. That's what He says in 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Peter 5, verse 10 says, Peter says, and you will suffer for a little while. So those people that teach you that it's a lifetime prison for you, I don't believe that's Bible. I don't believe that's grace. I don't believe that represents the victory of the Lord. Now, I don't know how long a season is. It may have been too long, but don't cooperate with it. Don't consent to it. Let's believe God for rescue. Let's believe God for more. I'm going to pick up here the next time we preach on this. Be in 2 weeks. But I want to tell you, it's God's will for you to escape your pit or your prison because He is your rescuer. He is the restorer. He's the God of restoration. And whatever the enemy may have stolen in your life, He wants to restore manyfold. That's the Jesus factor. That's the power of grace. That's what Jesus does. That's for you. That's for you. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to your heart. I'm praying for you right now. Lord Jesus, we just decree and declare that your love ministers deep into every heart that's receiving right now. And we just declare in Jesus' name that your love is setting people free to have hope. Lord, that they'll see a picture in their heart, that your picture for them being free, being liberated, being able to walk in the abundance of your love in your life, being able to experience in this journey abundant life in you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've come to set us free, not for us to be bound. And I thank you that, Lord, whatever we're facing is temporary because of who you are and what you've done and how you manifest your loving kindness to us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're chasing us down with your loving kindness and your goodness. And so, Lord, we want to receive. We humble ourselves before you, and we want to receive your rescue, your touch, your restoration. And Lord, we just have to shout, it's by grace. Not by our earning, but because of what you've done. By your works, we receive your liberty and your freedom, the manifestation of your love life in our life, in Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen, amen and amen and amen. All right.